a couple of things sort of pushed me over the line. As you said there, I was a councillor in Limerick during the anti-water charter struggle. That would have been the big movement I was involved in, fighting against austerity, building people power, and in a struggle that we won. Not only did we defeat the water charges, which could by now be thousands of euro a year, to be honest with you, and have seen Irish water privatised, not only did we win that, but the government also said that they were going to abolish and end austerity. Except the reality is that we've had 10 years where, it's not austerity, but where in reality all the economic growth that we have seen has been going to a tiny few at the top. And that's is very annoying and causing a lot of anger in Ireland, as we see, like, Ireland is a super rich country in many ways, but our health service is a mess, our housing system is a mess, and it's very galling to see the inequality. And the EU is a key part of that. First of all, it was a big part of the austerity, pushing for bailing out the banks and bailing out the bondholders, pushing austerity measures and privatisation agendas. So that was a big part of it in the background. But to be honest with you, the final straw, I had thought that I was kind of done with being a candidate. Seeing my photo up on the polls was never a big thing that was always something that I disliked. But the big thing that pushed me over the line again was then in the last 7 months now, the Israel's war on Gaza, which was like, it has been shocking and appalling for me to see. I've been out every Saturday at the protests against the bombing, calling for a ceasefire, calling for an end to the occupation. And the role of the EU in arming Israel, in funding Israel, and in whitewashing Israel's war crimes has been disgusting, and has really, like, re-motivated me. And it meant that when the party came and asked, look, they needed a candidate, we wanted to stand, we want to put a strong alternative, a left alternative on the ballot paper for Ireland South, we want to use this election to try to build the people power movements that we need in terms of health and housing, but also shine a light on the terrible role that Israel's playing and the EU is playing, sorry, in terms of the struggle in Gaza. And that's why I was convinced to go again for it and to throw my hat in the ring.
Okay, so in terms of what's happening between Israel and the Palestinians in Gaza, you want to end EU funding for Israeli military companies through Horizon Europe. Now, Horizon Europe, that's, just for those who don't know, is the EU's key funding programme for research and innovation. It's got a budget of $95.5 billion available over 7 years from 2021 to 27, and Israel participates in this. How could you go about ending this funding for Israel, Keane, if you were an MEP?
Well, first of all, it's one of the few exceptions that the EU has. In general, Horizon Europe funding is meant to be for EU membership, and it's meant to be going to funding research and development and important things. However, since 2007, they made an allowance that it could be used to fund security, which is now being used essentially to fund and research military spending and military equipment. And secondly, they made an exemption to allow Israel to apply for this funding and Israeli military companies to apply for it. So it's a very simple thing. We should withdraw that and no longer allow these Israeli military companies to apply for this funding. And just concretely, what's been done with that funding, like, the EU has funded two small examples. One, the development by Israeli military companies of drones, of military drone technologies, which is now being used to brutal effect against the people of Gaza. That was funded by EU taxpayers' money. And secondly, the so-called Pegasus phone hacking software, which was software developed by an Israeli military company with funding from the EU, with the explicit aim of being able to hack people's phones so we could hear conversations. And that technology, and this is not, like, this sounds mad, conspiracy theories, but people can just Google the Pegasus phone software. That phone technology has been used since being developed to hack the phones of European Union-based journalists. So we should be cutting that funding. But not only should we stop EU taxpayers' money going to funding Israel, we should also be implementing and pushing for an EU-wide arms embargo on Israel. So people are aware of the huge US military backing of Israel, but what they're not as aware of, I think, is that one-third of all the arms that went to Israel last year came from the EU. One-third of the military equipment that they're getting is coming from EU countries. So we are arming, the European Union and European Union countries are arming this, and we should be pushing for an EU-wide arms embargo to stop the sale of weapons.
And Cian, there would be those who would agree that we should, but, you know, I suppose like, to perhaps in terms of an embargo on arms sales to Israel, too much money is there to be made for particular interested parties. And also a point, not just on issues related to Israel, but any of the priorities for you if you were to become an MEP, how can you go about instigating or getting the ball rolling on change in any of these areas as a people before profit MEP, if you were to become one? You know, the party groupings at European level are very significant. Would you be part of one? If so, would it be one that would have a loud voice within the European Parliament to be able to instigate change in terms of Israel participating in Horizon 2020, or indeed instigating an embargo on arms sales to that country?
Well, first things first, is there a big... you're correct. There's big profit incentives, big lobbying incentives. That is why that is keeping these doors of open for weapons to Israel. Like, the arms lobby, the military-industrial complex in Europe is massive. And that's what we are up against. Like, the military spending in EU, across the EU, at the moment is about a quarter of a trillion euros a year. Like, that is insane. Like a quarter of a trillion euros. Just to, sometimes I think people get confused as to how big, what the difference is between a million, a billion, and a trillion. Like, a million seconds ago is about 12 days ago. A billion seconds ago is about 30 years ago, but a trillion seconds ago is 30,000 years ago. Like, that, before civilization was developed, before we had agriculture or whatever, you know. So the difference, when we're approaching now a quarter of a trillion euros being spent on our military spending in Europe, that is money that would be much better spent on housing, on healthcare, and of those things. So we are up, you're right, we're up against a massive lobby that has big profit interests, for sure. But on our side, it's people power, and it's changes in attitudes, not just on the question of Israel-Palestine, where I think right across Europe now, more and more people are starting to see, starting to question the support that's been there for Israel in the past, starting to see the Israel rejecting and refusing offers of ceasefire, continuing now bombings and attacks on Rafah. So I think the tide is turning, and not just in Europe but across the world.
But is it turning at the top of the European Christmas tree, for want of a better description? Because while some member states like Ireland and Spain might favour what you are suggesting here, you know, this is a point I touched on with one of your fellow candidates, Grace O'Sullivan from the Green Party recently. Ursula von der Leyen is running for EU Commission President again. Given her pro-Israel stance and seemingly, you know, rushing to Israel's side without consultation with member states, if she's elected again, she could be a big obstacle in you achieving any of your aims in relation to Israel. How would you get around that if it was von der Leyen as EU Commission President again?
For sure. So a couple of things we need to do. We need to, like, the parties that backed Ursula von der Leyen in the past, Fine Gael here in Ireland, the European People's Party, across Europe, but also her appointment was previously welcomed by Renew Europe, the Fianna Fáil affiliate, who welcomed it. We need to put pressure on them to rescind any support for Ursula von der Leyen, to not support her push to be reappointed President of the EU Commission. I think people are disgusted with the role she has played in this. But secondly, in terms of you're saying, in terms of what group would be joined, yeah, we would be joining the left group in the European Parliament, which is an important, like, a chance to build solidarity with other activists right across Europe. Because if we're actually to really end this, we need to be building not just national but international movements and piling pressure on. This, thirdly, I think it's also about having strong representation for Ireland. Like, we've seen the impact that people like Richard Boy Barrett has had, speaking on these issues in the Dáil, Paul Murphy as well, has been a light for people across the world. They've been an inspiration to people, to see people in the West, so to speak, speaking out in solidarity with Palestine. And I think having strong voices for Ireland, representing the position of the vast majority of people in Ireland on this in European Parliament, would be much better than the current people that we have in there.
Okay.
But the final thing that I want to say, I also want to say, look, Palestine is central to our thing, but the part of the demand is we're saying, look, instead of funding war crimes and military spending, we need to be investing in health and education. And that's, like, a crucial thing for me is they said they ended austerity, but we've had now 10 years of so-called growth. The economy has doubled in 10 years. The productivity has doubled in 10 years. But living standards have not doubled, wages have stagnated in real terms, public services are getting worse, that hospital waiting lists are crazy. We need to be building people power movements on that as well, to end the rigged economy, to fight for public services. Like we did with water charges, we need to be taking to the streets now and fighting for healthcare to reopen, the likes of Ennis A&E, to fighting to end the neoliberal EU rules that restrict investment in public housing and things like that. So it's not just, I'm not a single issue candidate, Palestine will be crucial for me.
Of course, but Keane, how are you going to be, because people will be, you know, there will be people who will be particularly interested to hear that you want to build a campaign to reopen Ennis, Nina and St John's and help build a movement in relation to housing, but they will wonder, you know, how you could possibly do that at European level if you become an MEP.
Yeah, when I was elected to the council in 2014, a key promise that I made was that I wanted to build the fight against the water charges. And at that stage, many people asked and said, well, look, you're in a small party, you're only going to be a minority in the Dáil, and you're standing for the council. This decision is made in the Dáil, not in the council. So how on earth would you ever change anything, having just a couple of councillors or just a couple of TDs? But we did that through building people power. We helped build massive protests, a massive boycott, and a people power movement that won, that forced the big parties to change their tune on that issue.
But did you not feel, as a councillor in Limerick City and County, that, you know, on a lot of motions or particular issues, you had a particular viewpoint or you voted a particular way, and quite often you were outvoted or outgunned by the Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael?
Yes. But where we were able to build campaigns and people power, we were able to win. So on the issues like water charges, where we forced Fianna Fáil, who had signed up to water charges, we forced the change of position on them, or the likes of Sinn Féin, who were originally saying that they were going to pay their water bills, pushed them to take a stronger opposition stance. So like, we can have a big impact by building people power campaigns. And that's what, like, I'm not going to just disappear off into Brussels and you'll never see me again for 5 years. It's about building those campaigns, working with people on the ground, because that's how we'll achieve real change. That's how we will force the big parties to listen and shift the agenda. That's like the notion that I have of like being an activist MEP, a campaigning MEP, to try to build pressure on others as well. And okay, I think that is how we can win.
Okay, we do have to leave it there. The European elections, of course, taking the same place the same day as the locals on the 7th of June. One of the Ireland South constituency candidates will be Keane Prendeville for People Before Profit. Keane, thank you very much for joining us this morning.
Thank you, Ian. Have a good day.